जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। सुशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन सुशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा वनचारी। जमुना तीरा वनचारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव डोंट लीड कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। शोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन शोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा वनचारी। जमुना तीरा वनचारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय ओम विष्णुवाद पुनमन सुपदि प्रहाज कचार्य स्तोत्र सदश्री श्रीमद एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन संस्थापक आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णवृंद की जय। नाम आचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। Premsakaho Shikrishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindiki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gokopinath Shama Kun Radha Kunigiri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai Navadip Tham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Ki Jai Ganga Mayi Ki Jai Jamana Mayi Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:25-7. Dharme charte cha kame cha yadaso parinishtitaha gunanam sannikarshoyam shraddha rati tanabaha. Dharme charte chakame cha yadaso parinishtataha gunanam sannikarshoyam shraddha rati tanavaha. Dharme charte chakame cha yadaso parinishtataha gunanam sannikarshoyam shraddharati dhanavaha. Charte chakame cha yadaso parinishtataha gunanam sannikarshoyam shraddharati dhanavaha. Dharme charte chakame cha yadaso parinishtataha gunanam sannikarshoyam shraddharati dhanavaha. Anyone else? Dharme charte chakame cha yadaso parinishtataha gunanam sannikarshoyam shraddharati dhanavaha. Dharme in religiosity, cha and arte in economic development, cha and kame in sense gratification, cha and yada when. So, this living entity, parinishtataha, is fixed, gunanam, in the modes of nature, sannikarshaha, the intermingling, I am this. Shraddha, faith. Rati, sensual enjoyment. Dhana, and wealth. Abaha, which each bring. When a person devotes himself to religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification, the faith, wealth, and sensual enjoyment obtained by his endeavors display the interactions of the three modes of nature. Purport. Religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification are situated within the modes of nature, and the faith, quiet. Or maybe that's not the mala makers, maybe it's people behind. Anyway. Religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification are situated within the modes of nature, and the faith, wealth, and enjoyment obtained by them clearly reveal the particular situation of a person within the modes of nature. It is the mala makers. So it's a very simple thing. It's not that it's a separate room where what you say will not be heard here. If you want to have a separate place where you can talk and so on, then you need a separate place. But if you're going to sit in that room during the Bhagavatam class, then the minimal requirement is quiet. Pretty simple. Okay, administrative announcement over. Om Agyana Tipiran Dasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Tadhati Shapadantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitamstam Sajivam Sadvaitam Svapathutam Parishana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Kurana Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vansha Kolpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Adaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Dharme Charte Chakame Cha Yadaso Parinishtitaha Gunanam Sanikarsho Yam Shadharati Tanavaha. This is a further discussion of the three qualities or modes of material nature, the trigunas, the three qualities of nature. It's, in one sense, a subtle concept. We don't see, we can't grab onto three modes of nature or three qualities of nature. But we can see, but we understand from Vedic literature, this is our interpretive framework for the world. How to understand what's going on in the world. It can all be seen within this structure structure or framework of three material qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And these three qualities bring with them different characteristics, and they also mix together in different proportions, swirling around like different colors and mixing and providing other colors. So the dharma charte chakame cha, the dharma, shraddha rati tanava, when there's shraddha or faith in religious principles, then a person, then dharma. The shraddha is associated with dharma. And the rati, or sense enjoyment, is associated with artha. If we want sense gratification, then where is money, where is money, where is money, where is money? Because sense gratification all depends on money. Of course, the senses can be gratified without money, but generally, the person who's passionate and interested in more and more sense gratification needs money to attract whatever it is he wants to attract. If he wants a nice wife, then the wife also wants to see money. She's looking for prosperity, security, and anything else you want to buy, money. So artha and rati. I'm sorry. Am I getting this right? Yes. He's interested in artha, kama, sense gratification. And the person... let's look at this. How is this said here? Yes. So these interests are there. Therefore, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it said, dharmasya napavargasya, dharmasya hyapavargasya, narturtaya upakalpate. Then, nartasya dharmaikantasya kamalabhya ayahismita. Generally, it's understood that dharma is accepted for artha. That sense gratification becomes the focus for, even in dharma. Prabhupada was quoting this morning, I was hearing, give us this day our daily bread. Of course, that's not extravagant sense gratification. But still one is thinking, my fit bodily needs. That's also good. But better... then that is the higher principles of dharma. That dharma is meant for satisfying Krishna. Dharmasya hyapavargasya. Or dharma is meant for getting out of material existence. The real problem of life is not lack of money, lack of health care, crowded cities, military threats, terrorism. The real problem is apavarga. Apavarga vartmini. The real problem is pavarga. Pavarga means material entanglement. Prabhupada explains pavarga. The pa, what is that? Parishram, working very hard. So that painila, there's like foam coming from the mouth like a horse working that hard. And vyarta, Prabhupada renders, uselessness and fear, and finally ma mrityu. In short, samsara or material existence. So the real business is to get free from this material, these problems. How to solve the problem of birth and death. For that, dharma is the ultimate purpose. Or one wants to understand, one should try to understand, one's eternal function. They take dharma as just religiosity, to be religious, to attend services at a temple or church, to put something in the donation box, to maybe wear a little cross or swastika or something on your jacket. But finally, dharma means what I'm meant for, my eternal engagement. That engagement is service to Krishna. That's the only dharma that's sanatana. The other dharmas, family dharma, community dharma, national dharma, are temporary. Even Hindu dharma, Christian dharma, this dharma, that dharma, they're not eternal. Not that if you go to the spiritual world, there's a, according to which church you belong to, you're assigned to a different quarter. The eternal business is service to the personality of Godhead. Of course, there are, even in the spiritual world, there are different quarters for people who have different kinds of faith. Those who want to be engaged in the service of Lord Ramchandra can go where Lord Ramchandra is manifesting his pastimes. Those who want to be with Krishna can join Krishna. Those who want to be with Narayan can join Narayan in Vaikuntha. So there's some, that's also there. But in all of these places, there's only one dharma. That's devotional service. There's no second program. Dharmasya hyapavargasya not chartaiha. What is that? Upakalpate? Let's find the verse while we're at it. Why not? Long purports. For some things, e-books are not as good. And for some things, they're better. This is one of the not as good departments. Getting to a verse quickly. Dharmasya hyapavargasya nartartaya upakalpate. So dharma is not meant just for economic development. There was, or for material prestige, to be seen attending the church and to be an upstanding person or seen going to the temple and he's dharmic. There was one American politician, he ran against Kennedy in the primary Democratic elections. His wife said, I knew that he decided to run when he called me up and told me to get the children dressed for church. So, na arta artayo upakopate. That's not the purpose of Dharma, to appeal to a constituency or any other material purpose. And nartasya dharmaikantasya kamalabhaya hi smritaha. And for those who are engaged in devotional service, the purpose of artha or the purpose of dharma is not kama. The purpose is apavarga and finally bhakti. This is the business. Kamasya nendriya pritir labo jiveta yavata jivasya tatva jigyasa narto yascheha karmabhi. This should be our engagement. So that's finally the business. All of these discussions of the modes of nature, the workings of material nature, all the ins and outs of it are very useful, enlightening. But finally, one has to transcend these material modes. Sagunan samiti chaitan brahmabhuvaya kolpate. That becomes possible. Mam chayo vyavacharena bhakti yogena sevate. By single-minded devotional service to Krishna. And I'll stop there. I'll see what kind of questions there are, if any. An overwhelming number of questions today. Yes. Oh, behind you. Behind you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
My question is, when a child is growing, at certain age, his hormones are at peak level.
Is what's at peak level?
Peak level means
hormones.
Hormones, yes. So at that time, how to control, and you know, parents are asking that child, whether male or female, that you acquire life partner. So at that moment of time, the marriage is taking place and the lust level is maximum amongst both the entities. So how to get control over it?
If we're asking that question, once the hormones have reached peak level, we're asking a little late in the game. Brahmacharya Guru Kule Vasandanta Guru Arita. Because this force of lust is difficult to control, because these powerful forces are unleashed, especially at the time of puberty. Therefore, brahmacharya training is required well in advance. Just like in the army, they don't just send you out into the battlefield and say, okay, now go out there and shoot. First they send you to boot camp, they send you to intensive training, so that you automatically know what to do when you're out there. You've been trained so many times in the drill that when you hear gunfire or when you see this, when you know that, okay, now I have to do that, almost practically by instinct, because you don't have a lot of time on the battlefield to think, well, what should I do? You have to be trained. So similarly, for all the young boys especially, the brahmacharya training is required. Vasandanta Gurorita, so that they can learn how to control the mind, how to control the senses. It's not that automatically every child will just know how to control the mind and senses. It requires training. It requires training. So many things. A child needs to be trained. They don't automatically know how to read. They don't know automatically know how to use the toilet. They don't know automatically so many things. It requires training. But we expect that they'll control their mind and senses. They'll reach 16, 18, and we'll say, oh, you have to control your mind and senses. Oh, good. I'm glad you told me. They need to be trained early. Therefore, the brahmacharya training is so important. Without knowing how to control the mind and senses, one becomes controlled by the mind and senses. And that's the problem that we see. So many young men, and they're slaves of their senses. They're slaves of their senses. Why? Because they were not trained how to master the senses. You know, it's like meeting a lion. Either you control it or it controls you. There's no third position. Is that all right? Of course, it's not that if you didn't have brahmacharya training, then we give up and say, well, too bad you didn't get brahmacharya training. Your life is a failure. Then we come, all right, you chant Hare Krishna, associate with devotees, learn the philosophy, practice. Then even late in the game, better late than never, still he can learn how to control the mind, how to control the senses. But it will be more difficult. It will be more difficult. Better early training. Yes.
I was continuing the question, then I'll have some other questions also. We give so much emphasis on brahmachari training so that the child is completely focused, prepared when the eventuality is going to come. And that way he can completely counteract the attack of lust that will be coming. But we don't give so much emphasis on girls getting training, because the girls also get those attack of lust. And they become more, so to say, exposing themselves so much that the boys get succumbed to those things.
Sati.
The boy gets succumbed, means they get so much attracted to that.
And therefore, go ahead.
Yeah. So because the training has not been given to the girls, because of that reason, Maharaj, what is happening is the attack is becoming more and more severe to the boys. And no training has been told to the girls. So that's why the imbalance is becoming very complicated.
Main thing about it's not so much that there's a lack of training, although that may also be there for the girls. But there's illusion. There's a illusion on the part of the father. And there's illusion in terms of the social system. The illusion on the part of the father is that the girl is 14, 15, 16, and he's thinking in a few years she'll need to get married. That's his illusion. She's already at the point where marriage should be at the top of the priority list, and he's thinking after she finishes college, after she's got her career, then she'll need to get married. It's backwards. You need to go to the toilet very urgently, but you think, first I'll chant my rounds and then I'll go to the toilet. It doesn't work like that. The demand has its own priority. It establishes its priority. So in the natural human development, this girl becomes mature 14, 15, 16. Not 25. And therefore, in the Vedic social system, by then the husband should be there, and that's the father's responsibility. But sometimes there's illusion on the part of the father. He's thinking, she's still my little girl. She's not your little girl anymore. She's ready to be somebody else's little girl. or big girl. That's the first illusion. Second is the societal illusion or cuckoo bird setup, where the most important thing for a girl is her career. And so therefore, she has to go to school, then she has to go to college, and then she has to have a career, and then she should get married. Or at least after college, once she's qualified. But as we've discussed before, then any girl who's been to college is automatically unqualified or disqualified, practically speaking, for married life. It's very difficult. And it's such a crazy setup. You said send young boys, young girls to mix together in a park somewhere and attend a few classes and make friends with one another. And what do you think is going to happen? It's such a foolish arrangement. So then the boys become, you can say, victimized or attracted, overwhelmed by the beauty of the girls. The girls become overwhelmed by the, aggressive force of the boys. Then Jayate Varnasankara. You get unwanted pregnancy, or at least what you'd call a pollution, that the women become used, taken advantage of. So it's completely wrong. They put off marriage till even after career. But then it's just like we're fighting against the laws of biology. We're fighting against human biology because the girls are mature at an earlier age, not 25, 27, 35. Even, I was at an airport in San Diego, and there had been, I was standing in the check-in line, and there had been a conference there, medical conference, about Down syndrome. And some of the people, the various doctors, medical experts had attended, and parents, many parents of children who had Down syndrome also attended. Naturally, they're highly interested. So they were talking about, people in the line behind me were talking about it, and from listening to them, I got to understand that the, first of all, it's gone through, and I was talking with them also, it's gone through the roof. It used to be exceedingly rare. Down syndrome was like, you know, statistically rarely seen. And now it's all over the place. It's like, you know, frequent. And the people at the conference had said that one reason for this is that a high risk indicator for Down syndrome is that the mother has her first child after 30, 35, I forget which it was. Doesn't matter when she has her second child, but if the first child is like 30, 35, you're in high risk territory for Down syndrome. Nature doesn't like it. Nature says this isn't the right, what would you say, the right time. Should have been sooner. But we have our idea about education and the modern woman and career and this, and then you have your children, you know, after you're sort of well set up and you've got good money and then this, then you get married to, and then you have children, you know, in your 30s, and then you're at high risk for Down syndrome. So in the Vedic system, the girls were married early, and that solved many problems at once. The girl is not in anxiety that what will happen with me, and she, her husband is there, and she doesn't have to shop herself around. She doesn't have to shop herself around, compromising her integrity. And you shop yourself around. You know, what do the boys want? They want, you know, free trial offers and all of that. So she maintains her integrity. Her happiness is locked in. Security is there. The decisions are made by the wise people, the parents. But when the girl's 25, 30, she doesn't want to hear what her father thinks, for crying out loud. Daddy. You know, once she's in her 20s, or, you know, she's her own woman. She wants to think for herself. And, of course, because she's a woman, she can't think for herself. Her desires think for her. Same thing with the men. At that age, it's not all about intellect. Something about intellect. I think Srinathji was telling one day how he got married. He had like a checklist of desirable qualities, and when the marks were all ticked off, then he got married. But that's rare. Generally, it's the senses say, wow, wow. And then, therefore, so many marriages are failures, and this goes on. Because the least qualified people, namely the boy and the girl, choose their prospective mate, or, what would you say, enter a circumstance where they have no choice. So, when the girl is married young, then the father can say, you know, we have a nice boy for you, and the girl says, oh, good, you know. When she's in her 20s, you have a what?
Maharaj, society says this way, that because the girl is getting married very early and she doesn't have any backing of her education, her prosperity, so because of that, the man exploits her. Because she is completely helpless, she has to stay in the house only. Because she doesn't have any educational backing, she cannot be on her own if at all some exploitation happens.
Correct.
So in that situation, that's why they wanted to get educated, and so that she can be completely secure.
Right. And therefore, now it's a different circumstance. Before, she was dependent on her husband. She felt that my husband is the person who's taking care of me, so I serve my husband and he sees to my security and my needs. Now it's an equal partnership. I take care of myself, he takes care of himself, and if at any point I'm dissatisfied with the corporate arrangement, then I disappear and spread my wings and fly. So it's very nice that marriage becomes part of ancient mythology, because the girl is independent, minded, and independently, what would you say, economically and everything independent. So now instead of being married for life, now she's married for 5 years, 2 years, 10 years, until the winds change and she likes some other arrangement. It's not a very happy business. It's not a very happy business. We think, no, it's better now because the girl has independence. She can take care of herself if things don't work out, this, that. Then she has choices. Then, since that's what's become the norm, especially in America, for example, or Europe, everyone should be more happy there, shouldn't they? The women should be more happy, fulfilled. And it ain't like that. they're more frustrated, they're more exploited, because everything, we all know it's not going to work anyway, that it's going to be temporary. He doesn't feel any responsibility for me either, because he knows that, hey, she has a, you know, she's a this, she's a that, she can take care of herself. So he doesn't have any, overbearing sense of responsibility, you know. The girl can take care of herself. If I get a new one, she'll be okay. We see that in the India in earlier days, it worked out better. The parents felt so responsible, the father especially felt so responsible, that we have to get a suitable boy. The term is still current. A suitable boy. They had so much trouble to see that they're astrologically matched, the families are on par, the mentality is similar, the interests are similar, they like one another, everything fixed up, then the arrangement would be there. The parents would take, on the girl's side and the boy's side, would take so much trouble to see that everything was as suitable as possible. And then after all that energy is invested, then the boy and girl can't even think about leaving. You know, once your hands are locked and they're pouring water and flowers and everything, it's like jail. You can't get out. Because that's the social understanding, that this is not, you know, something we're setting up for you for like a trial run. This is your life. Yudhisthira Prabhu, his wife told me that when she got married, her parents brought her to the husband's house and they said that now we're bringing you here and this is where you'll stay until you're brought out on a stretcher. You know, we've taken care of you up to now. Now you have a husband, you're his responsibility, and your responsibility is to serve your husband. Like that. Not this, you know, try it, see what you think. If it doesn't work out, not a problem.
People argue this way, Maharaj, that because the girl is absolutely dependable on the husband, she is not qualified. She has no support from the parents.
Also. No, that's her first qualification. I know you mean not qualified educationally, but she's qualified. She's qualified to be a wife. She's qualified to be a mother because she's absolutely dependent on the husband. Just as the disciple is absolutely dependent on the spiritual master. Just as the child is absolutely dependent on the parents, the wife is dependent on the husband. That's her first qualification. Chastity.
Maharaj, what they argue is this way, that you're right, Maharaj, that she's in their language they say that because the girl is not qualified academically, because she's absolutely dependable on the husband, the parents are completely saying that you have to be completely chaste to your husband. And that way, the husband exploits the wife.
No, that's your responsibility to see that you get your daughter married to a responsible boy. Not someone who's just exploiting. Responsible. That's the parents' responsibility. That you get her fixed up with a responsible young man.
Sometimes it so happens the match is not getting it, and that's why because of some tension or anxiety.
Something doesn't work out. That's the material world. Nothing is perfect. Nothing always, you know, is guaranteed. But as far as possible, you put all of this, you invest your best intelligence, best energy, best efforts, and you say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And then you live with the outcome. You live with the outcome. That's also culture. that, all right, it wasn't exactly what I thought, but I can live with it. I can live with it. Yad richa labha santushta. To be satisfied with what comes. Not that, oh, it's still, it could be this, it could be that. And then you're never satisfied. Tripyanti neha. And therefore they're on their third husband, they're on their fourth husband, they're on their seventh husband, they're on their fourth wife, they're on their tenth wife. Because it's never really, it wasn't working. We both saw that it wasn't working. It never works, it's the material world. But to the extent that it works, you live with it. You live with it. You know, you enter a business deal. After you'd enter the deal, you find out that it wasn't everything you thought it would, you hoped it would be. There's a downside to every transaction. But you entered a deal, you live with it. You manage. Not that you go crazy and think, well, we could do this, we could do this, we could do this, we could do that. I have all my options open. I have that problem. I'm indecisive. So I'm looking at, 25 possible flights to take, and I can't make up my mind. At some point, you have to book one. And then there'll be, maybe this one doesn't have the same, the same promptness that the other one has, or here the seats are closer, or they're going to charge me $20 more for something or other. But anyway, I'm not going to say, well, wait a second, I can still book over here, I can still book over there. You book a flight and you go. At a certain point, you make up your mind, you decide your destination, first of all, then you decide your flight, or your train, or whatever it is, and you go. And you can't spend your whole life looking back. Like Krishna told Rukmini, my dear Rukmini, you've made a terrible mistake in the choice of your husband. There were so many qualified princes who wanted to marry you, and they were seriously qualified, and instead you chose as your husband someone who's afraid of all the other kings, who's so fearful that he makes his home out in the middle of the ocean, who's doubtful, nobody's quite sure whether he's a Brahmin or a Kshatriya, or his family is in question, is he the son of Vasudeva, is he the son of Nanda, what? So there's so many, but anyway, it's better late than never. You could still choose another husband. Of course, Krishna is teasing. But for Rukmini, it's unthinkable. Unthinkable. Of course, especially because her husband is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but actually for any chaste woman, it's unthinkable. That, well, I could always choose another husband. No. You make your choice, and then this is your life. Just like your children. I don't like this one. Will it come to that? It does come to that now. That we don't like this one. I was just at the MRI place, and as in all the hospitals and everything, there's a sign that it's illegal to conduct a test to find out what sex this child is going to be. Why is it illegal? Because of female infanticide. Because if we don't like, it's either A or B, and if we wanted A and it turned out to be B, then we'll kill the damn thing. There's your freedom of choice. How degraded, just because it doesn't fit my lifestyle. Or my economic situation, getting down to more, where it's more serious. I can't afford it, this, that, another girl, and, the cost of the marriage and this and that, and I need a son. No, it's not like that. You're just supposed to have full freedom to make all the choices you want. If I don't like the husband, I get a different one. If I don't like the wife, I get a different one. If I don't like the child, I kill this one and get another one. What kind of human life is that? Nasasidhim avapnoti nasukam naparamgatim. If we neglect the Shastric directions, we won't attain perfection, we won't be happy, and we won't go back to Godhead. Tasmat Shastra Pramanamte. Therefore, one should follow the Shastras. The Shastra's not directing. Make sure your girl's got a good education so she can have her own job, so that if she doesn't like her husband, she can shove off and pick up a new one. That's not the Vedic civilization. If you don't like the child that has come to you, then kill it and get another one. You know, like returning a dress. You know, you don't like this dress, you return it to the store and you get a new one. You don't like this child, you kill it in the womb and get another one. That's the result of your education. You become so educated that you're ready to ditch your husband, to kill your child. Such nice education.
Maharaj, one last question. Maharaj, the society says one way, that why so much restriction has been given to the woman or a girl, and that much restriction is not been given to the man. For example, for a girl, she has to be chaste. But man can get married to more than one woman also. So that means on one side you are giving, a man can be unchaste, but a woman has to be chaste. This type of a thing, and plus woman cannot do this, that, everything, but man can go out, he can do anything and everything. So that means it is injustice.
Not anything, everything. It's not that the man has carte blanche, whatever you want to do, you do. That also, he has to be so responsible. That even if you can accept more than one wife, you have to be responsible for each one. It's not that you can, I don't like this wife, I'll get another wife and just ditch this one. You have to take full responsibility for every wife. Not that it's just, a free ticket. If you want a light, you know, just like a license. You want a license for one car, you pay. You want a license for two cars, you pay double. So it's not an unrestricted license. Well, I got a license. No, each car requires a registration and fee and upkeep and so on. So yes, some men could accept more than one wife, but they had to accept full responsibility. Not that they could just do as they like.
That a woman wants love, care and attention. That is the only way by which she can be happy. But when a man is having more than one wife, he cannot give justice to every woman.
No, that's his duty. Just like Krishna. He was taking care of 16,108 and they were all happy. So if you're going to marry more than one wife, then you have to keep both wives happy. But now in the present age, they can't even keep one wife happy.
Maharaj, just to continue with the same question, you mentioned about if the girl is being married at proper age, that is being taken care with all kind of the, in terms of the family background is seen, and even the economical stature is being seen. All these details have been seen, and still, if there is exploitation with a girl child, what should be the take of a girl?
Then she goes back to her husband. To her father. Or the elder brother. Then someone has to be responsible. If the husband becomes, violent or, totally unfit, all right, then the father's, I gave my daughter to this totally unqualified person, now I have to take the responsibility, or the elder brother takes responsibility. It's not that the girl has to be, you know, tortured and killed. But that shouldn't be, that should be the rare exception. But that's the arrangement. Just like Kamsa, he was killed by Krishna for good reason, of course. So all of his wives became widows, and they went to their father. And now, this is our situation. Of course, father was very angry, and he wanted. He also was Krishna's enemy. That's a different story. But the idea is there that all right, they went back to their father. Father, elder brother.
And is there any possibility of trying for a second marriage? Or no? Okay. Thank you, Maharaj.
If the father wants to give him, he wants to focus in his vanprastha life, and the girl comes home.
Yeah,
and
therefore
there is no brother.
Therefore he should choose well, so that the girl doesn't come back. Therefore, so much responsibility, because the father thinks that I have to hand over, this is my great responsibility in life, my daughter. I have to hand her over to a highly qualified girl, boy. So he has to take so much care.
By misfortune, if he doesn't, if something happened this way, then the man has to compromise his vanprastha life because the girl has come back.
We hope that he has a son. The elder brother will take, or some uncle, someone in the family has to take the charge.
Maharaj, we'll go a little bit change in the topic. A very serious question about Krishna consciousness is, when we spend so many years in devotional life and we have some set of thoughts and set of fixed thinking in our life, and we maintain that type of a lifestyle for our whole life, we maintain the same lifestyle for our whole life, but then when the age increases, a serious fear happens, a fear comes in a devotee's life, is that how will I die in Krishna consciousness? This is the biggest fear that comes in our life, because we have some set of rules in our life that we'll follow this way. This is the set of rules we'll be doing. And then when this final stage comes up, the body doesn't give support. We become to some extent externally definitely helpless. And our body doesn't give support. We have to take help from somebody. And at that time that fear is there, that the principles which we have maintained in our whole lifetime, then will it not get compromised because of body in support? In that circumstances, what a devotee has to do?
Yeah, everyone, devotee or non-devotee, everything's on the body, and then the body is going to fail. That's the situation. We have a certain status quo. The materialists have their status quo of work and career and enjoyment, and the body's falling apart. They have their goal of sense gratification up to the end, and the body will no longer accommodate or cooperate. So he's really in the soup. His whole life is already out the window because it's all on the senses, and the senses don't work anymore. He wants to enjoy sex, and it's no longer possible. So in this way, his life is seriously compromised. Then, oh, look, it's so late. Then, for the devotee also, this is a problem, that the body is falling apart. But still, for the devotee, the first thing is that he's not looking to the senses for happiness, satisfaction, meaning. It's all about his spiritual cultivation, which is not so dependent on all of these circumstances. Still, everything can fall apart in such a way that will I be able to chant? Will I be able to read? Will I be able to remember Krishna? Will I be able to know my own name? We don't know. Therefore, material nature is so cruel and so difficult. Even the devotee doesn't have a guarantee that everything will work out fine. So as far as possible, while we're still in one piece, therefore the vanaprastha life is accepted, while we still have some energy, before we become decrepit and, you know, we need someone to feed us our applesauce and a little spoon and change our diapers for us, before it reaches that point, we should take our life in our hands and seriously dedicate ourselves to detachment from this material world, because we're going to be detached whether we like it or not. But Kulashekhar is praying for Krishna's mercy that let me die in Krishna consciousness. That finally we're dependent on Krishna's mercy. Even somehow, if we're not able to chant, if your whole life has been devotional service, Krishna's not so cruel. But we should take it seriously that while I still have my marbles, you know, while I can still think, I should demand of my mind that it think of Krishna.
Question. If fear happens in our life, means that comes in our life, that if I leave my body, before that I'll be in some coma type of a thing.
I'm sorry, I wanted to add to my previous answer. Demand of our mind and pray for Krishna's mercy that you please keep me engaged in your service somehow or other. Because finally it depends on Krishna. Then your question again.
Yeah. Maharaj, if so happens that supposing before we leave our body, we might be coming in a coma type of a situation,
yes,
where we are completely externally, we have a sense, means our respiration is there, but intelligence is lost, we could not do anything. And in that situation, if I leave our body...
Even in coma, you don't know. Coma means you don't know what's going on inside. I'm in coma, you don't know what's going on with me, because I can't communicate. But you don't know what's going on. I was at one... I'll tell you two stories. One, there was a devotee's mother who was dying. And we went to see her. She was in hospital. And she was all like this, you know. Her face was all screwed with anxiety, although she was in coma. Completely in coma. But you could see she was in such anxiety. And her son put earphones on her with Prabhupada bhajan playing, and all the lines straightened out, you know, peaceful. And so even though she was in coma, still the transcendental sound was entering, and the effect was there. Another story, one of my god sisters was in hospice, she was dying, and she'd entered coma. And so the devotee, and the doctor said, you know, not much longer. So the devotees rushed there, and she's in coma. So they gathered around her bed and had kirtan. And so then she came out of coma. As long as there were no devotees, she might as well be in coma. But now that the devotees were there, she came out of coma. She said, where's my beads? You know? That means coma or not coma, she was actually Krishna conscious. And she left not much after, next day something. But, you know, just that you don't see anything happening doesn't mean that Krishna consciousness is not there inside. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri Prabhupada.